Let me tell you where we're going in October, because through the last few months, we've kind of introduced you to different parts of the church that maybe you haven't seen before. And so we gave you opportunities to pray with the 21 days and to get into small groups, and then with the growth track, and then with Juntos all together with our Spanish congregation, just different parts of the church that maybe you haven't taken part in before, or maybe you just had a chance to see. And so this next part in October, where we're going, is another part of that, and that is our outreach and our service. That is reaching those around us. That is reaching out to our community and all of those close to us and the ones that God has put around us. And just a word on that, by the way, what we learn in here in the main auditorium, what we're learning in here is being taught across all of the ministries here at Victory. We kind of did that in August. We lined up and we've started doing it in September and October. So when we learn about outreach and service in here, they're having the same type of series in Kids Zone and in the nursery and in the youth squads on Wednesday nights. Your kids are learning that. And why we did that is so that you have a common ground together as a family in God's word. And so you as parents can take Sunday outside of Sunday into your homes. And so when we did September on Philippians and we talked about Paul saying, I can have joy in every circumstance, it wasn't just so we had a verse to smile about. No. When your kids were walking through something hard or your family went through a loss or a tragic thing, you're able to find that common ground in God's word together. And we want that so badly for you. And so we've lined those up. So just kind of get you guys in the know. So if you do have something in here, you're like, well, that's really good. You can go with your kids. They're learning the same thing. They're doing it. And then we wanted to give you a chance to act, a chance to serve. And so at the end of this month, on October 27th, we have our serve day. And this is an awesome time of the year just to come together and to bless our community. Just to bless, and some of you guys already filled out the cards. I would encourage you, go ahead and pull those cards out. You won't bother me if you're doing it during the service, right? You guys are playing games on your phones anyways other week, so this won't bother me at all, right? So, you know, you guys go ahead and pull that out, and just, you can drop it in the boxes just to be a part of something. And so if you want to serve on a team or you want to serve with small children, there is something for everyone. You want to come with your family and serve, or you can't lift heavy things, but you want to help fill care packages, or you want to pray with people. There is some place for every person in this church to serve. No matter the age, no matter the walk, no matter what it is, you can serve. And so I want to encourage you guys, and there are small groups in our church and groups that do things for others throughout the year, and we serve and we outreach. But this is one day a year that I'm just asking all of you, one day a year that I'm asking all of you guys to come out and serve our community, to be a part of the church as a whole, to serve those. And that's our service. And then outreach on the 31st, we have our Light the Night outreach. And this is probably one of our favorite ones of the year. In that we go out on Halloween night, it's on a Wednesday this year, we go out and we pick 5 or 6 lighthouses, just houses in our church that are in the most heavily trick-or-treated neighborhoods in our cities. And we pick those houses very strategically, and then we all kind of flood to those houses on that night, and we make it the premier spot on the street. Right? We got games and prizes and candy, we're just hanging out with people and just playing and just meeting people where they are. Meeting people where they are, and so we can reach out to them. And so I encourage you guys, pick a lighthouse, get there. It's an incredible time just to meet with people. And then we, right after that, we invite them. In November, we have our outreach series with At the Movies. And we love At the Movies, right? You get to eat a bunch of popcorn. We drink. We bring the couches in here. We go all out in the foyer. We have movies. We bring biblical truths from those movies. It's just an awesome time that we have. And so that's in November, just the greatest time to invite somebody, just to meet people where they are. To be able to communicate with people in the media that communicates to them. Be able to communicate to people. Because if you just stay stuffy, we just stay in here and lock our doors and wait till Jesus comes, we're not fulfilling what Jesus told us to do. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And so that's where we're headed, just to kind of give you guys. Because there's a world that we're living in that are full of people who have not heard the gospel. Or if they have heard it, they've heard it from somebody who preached it completely wrong to them. Or they actually, the way that they heard it was they watched somebody live it completely wrong to them. And so I want to encourage you guys, it's so easy sometimes to get our eyes off of that and kind of focus them on our own things and our own lives and what we're trying to accomplish. Instead of focusing them on the harvest that's around us. Instead of focusing them on the people and the world that is around us. And so it's easy to lose perspective sometimes. That's kind of the little phrase I want you to file away, because this series is called The Call. And it's basically the idea that God has a purpose for us in this generation. God has a purpose for us as a church in the place that he's put us to live it out, to live out, to make a difference, to leave a legacy. And so that's what I want to encourage you guys, the difference that we can make. And here's our series verse in Ephesians 4. And it's Paul writing again. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So you have a call from God. And so Paul's saying, I urge you. And so I urge you, Victory, this morning. You're going to be urged for 4 straight weeks to live a life, to reimagine, to refocus your life, to be worthy of the call that you've already received, to be worthy of the call that Christ is calling all of us to. And it's almost as if to say, live worthy of the call that you received as if you're not doing it, because to be honest, we're not. To be honest, we always have to rehone and resharpen and refocus our lives. It's a daily thing where we're refocusing, getting our perspective back on what that calling is, on who we're supposed to reach. So this is what the series is going to look like. I'm going to give you messages that I'm going to try to inspire you to be faith-filled. Now, not that anything that I can say is going to do that. I'm going to try to inspire you out of the Word of God to be faith-filled. And so the messages are going to be clear. They're going to be inspiring. They're going to be short. And somebody just woke up with me right there. He said, just amen, brother. Right? And those. I shortened this one because I want it to be as clear as possible. We're going to dig into each thing as we go this week. But I want it to be as clear as possible where we're headed for October. What that call is and how it looks in your life. And I want to be as practical as possible. How you can live this out. Because we're called to something bigger than us. And I want to give you a verse, a couple before this. It's actually in Ephesians 3:20. Because Paul says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, to him who can do more, and you heard this during the worship service, during prayer, who can do more than can go through our brains. The one who can do more than that, according to his power, that is his work inside of us. Then he goes on to say, and live worthy of the call. And so it's something outside of ourselves. It's living bigger than ourselves. He wants to do something so big inside of us that we say, what an amazing God. Thank you that you use us. Thank you that you would use us. Every time before I come out here, you might see me go over next to the side before we start this section of it. And I just pray a simple prayer before God. And I just thank you for using me. I never take it for granted that I get a chance just to give the Word of God, just to be able to read verses and to share with you guys. So should our lives be. We say, oh God, thank you for using us. It's an amazing God we serve who has called us to do amazing things through his power and through his call on our life. And so I just want to encourage you guys through this. And by the way, this is not just for the people that we're going to reach. Like, that is a good thing to serve other people. It's not only because God likes it. Like, that is what happens. God does enjoy when we do it. No, when you find that purpose in your own life. Because a lot of times people say, well, okay, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, what I'd like to do, and come over here and just do this for a little while. No. When you start to serve others, when you start to reach out, you find fulfillment in your own life. It's what you were made for. It's what you were called for. And so, again, it is great for the ones that we serve. It is because God loves it. But there is a purpose that we have for fulfillment. You grab a hold of that, it will change your life. You grab a hold of what God is calling you to, the purpose he wants for you. You live beyond what you can do. And I'm just going to say, if you're looking for a calm, kind of meet my needs kind of church, we understand. We love you where you are. We want to meet your needs. We want to care for you. But we're not going to leave you there. We're not going to just kind of care for you and then fix you all up and just set you right back where you were. No, we're moving forward to live into what God has called us to do. And so we want to lead you to a God who cares for you. We want to lead you to a God who can heal your every need. We want to lead you to that. God wants to help us. And I realize it is a hard thing to understand because there are, and it's a reality, there are those of us, including myself from time to time, that live in times of confusion and go through hard things and experience hard times of life. That is a true thing, but my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. So God wants to change me, wants to touch me, but he's not going to leave me there. He's calling us to live our lives for him. And so I've decided in my own life, whatever time God has given me here on this earth, I'm going to try my best to achieve the purpose that he has given me. We're going to go all out. And so us as a church has a purpose. We have a purpose. To live out as Victory Harvest Church that can make a difference. So here's my challenge for you out of Proverbs 9. Leave your impoverished, confused, depressed life and live. So leave your life of did-nots and regrets and sighs and all of that and live. Walk up the street to a life without meaning. I was waiting to hear if you guys got me. Walk up a life with meaning. I mean, how you can't get much more clear than that. Leave those things and walk up the street to a life that can bring meaning into your life. Walk up the street. And so that's my call to you. And again, I don't disrespect, we have those who have hard times. We want to care for you. We want to pray for you. We want to cover you. But we want to bring you with us. We want to continue in what God has for us. And so just the simplest I can put it this morning, 3 points for you. If we want to live to make a difference, you want to be a difference maker, you want to be a legacy leaver. The first point in this morning, if you want to make a difference, you have to love God passionately. You have to love God passionately. It can't happen without that relationship getting right first. You want to be a legacy leaver. You cannot be a legacy leaver if you try to do it on your own. If you try to live bigger than yourself on your own, you cannot do it. It rises and falls. If you don't connect with God. And Paul actually used this as a, not an argument. He used this as a way to reason with unbelievers. And you have to read the full context of the verse. But Paul, he goes to this city where they have set up all these idols. And they've set up one of them that just says, the idol to the unknown God. And it just says, the idol to the God that we don't know. We just, there's something, there's a lot of stuff about life, about meaning, about all these things that we just don't get. We don't know. We don't know what it is. But Paul goes to him. He says, let me help you out. He says, let me out. You've created this idol to the unknown God. He says, I'm going to help you out. I'll explain it to you. And he says, he's talking to them. He says, for one man, he made all the nations. Okay. He's saying God made all of this. He made you. He made all the nations that exist so that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. And so Paul is telling these groups, and I'm telling you this morning, God has determined when and how and where they should live. When and how and where you should live. Let me put it this way. So before Adam was even created, God looked at the timeline of history. And he decided, okay, Ben Workman, I'm going to not there, not here. Okay, 2018, okay, in Louisiana. And he decided where and how and where you should live and what time in history. A lot of you ask that question. You have that question inside you. Why am I born now and not 500 years ago? Or why am I put in this place? Or why do I live here? Why, what is this? What is the meaning of life? And God is trying to say he made you and he put that question inside of you. And watch this next part. It says, so that God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. It's this so that he's saying for a reason God made them and put them in that place. For a reason God made you and put you in this place. For a reason God ordained your steps to be in this building this morning. For a reason he's letting you listen online or for a reason, well, whatever it is. God made the nations, place them in exact times and places for a reason. So God did it for a reason so that they would reach out for him. And then Paul encourages them. He says, though he is not far from any one of us. So God is saying, ask me why you're here. Ask me what the reason is for your life. Because the only one who knows the reason for your life is the one who holds the book on your life. And that is God. You want to ask that question. Only one person can answer it. And so if you ask this question this morning, if you're wondering, okay, why am I here? What is this reason? Only one person, one God can answer that. And so Paul is saying he's not far from any one of you. You are one prayer away from God getting involved in your life, from God answering that question of meaning in your life. I'm preaching 97.3% better than you are responding this morning. All right, that is good. God is not far from anyone. And then Paul celebrates and he quotes a verse and he says, for in him we live and move and have our being. I say it this way, only in him we live and move and have our being. Only in the living God. Do we live our lives with purpose? That's why Colossians says it this way. It says, for everything. Okay, you didn't get that. Absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Everything. You have no chance of finding it out without him. Well, our purpose is found in him. Ephesians 2, it says he created him. We are God's handiwork. He created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God made us with intentionality. Every person in this room, you have a purpose. God has created you with a purpose. This is not something that we just throw out there to put on a card or a bumper sticker or something. Look at me. You have a purpose from God to live out, to change this world. God made you individually. God made you for a purpose, for a time and a place. He knows where he put you. And so he's called you to do something where he's put you in the time that he's put you. We as a church have a purpose that God has put us in. that God has called us to accomplish in our generation, in our place, in our time. God has called us to do something. God has a call on your life. You grab hold of that, I promise it will change the way that you live. You start to live and believe that God has called you to a purpose, that he orders your steps. It will change the way that you view life. It brings meaning and it brings your problems down to where they probably should be. Because if all you have in your life are your problems, they will be gargantuan. Your problems will take the place of everything. But you grab a hold of this. You have this revelation in your life that God has put you there for a reason. God has a purpose for you. You grab a hold of that in your life and your problems will just become mindless distractions on the way because you're living a life full of purpose, a life full of meaning. You grab hold of what God is calling you to. So we love God passionately. And then the second point this morning is begin to serve others selflessly. Begin to serve others. First Timothy says it this way. And Paul is writing this to Timothy as a pastor, by the way. Timothy is about to go and speak to the other Christians in his area that week or the next week. So Paul writes to him, he says, command them to do good. So Victory, I'm commanding you to do good this week. I'm commanding you do good, to be rich in good deeds. Be generous, be willing to share. And in this way, you'll lay up treasure for yourselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. And you'll take hold of life that is truly life. You want to live true life. You want to take hold of that. He's saying, command them to do good. Be rich in good deeds. Fulfill this purpose that God is calling you to. Serve others selflessly. Psalms 112. I'm just going to throw every verse in the Bible at you this morning. They share freely. It's talking about those who are righteous, the ones who live rightly. And they give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They'll have influence and honor. Let me be clear, though, because I'm going to get more specific about this over the coming weeks. But I'm not just talking about being nice to people. One of my pet peeves, maybe in the church even, is when we talk about it as just kind deeds that we can do. Because not every kind deed is worth it in eternity. Only the ones that have eternal impact are worth it. And let me put it this way. If you feed a stomach, a full stomach can go to hell just as easily as an empty one can. Every deed that we do, we attach with the gospel. And every time that we care for someone, if we really care and we really believe there is a heaven and there is a hell, if we care about that person, we're not just going to help them, we're going to give them the good news. If we truly believe what we say we believe, we want to live as true Christians, then we're not just going to give them something and then withhold what is the truth. Well, this is good enough for us, but we're just going to give them some food and that's enough for them. If we believe what we say we believe, this is how we should act. And so we're going to reach out to people. We're going to always pair a good deed with the good news. We're going to tell people about a Jesus that can save them, that can save their lives. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 6, he said, don't work for food that spoils. And honestly, a lot of social justice, even in the church, is working for food that spoils. And I can say this because I am as guilty of this as anyone, about working so hard for food that spoils and not combining it with an eternal truth, not giving them what we have. What kind of person would have eternal life and then decide not to share it with someone? Decide not to share it with the truth? There's a famous magician, he's an atheist, but he says he respects Christians who share the eternal truth. Because he says, what kind of person wouldn't want to share that with me? He says, the ones that he can't stand, the Christians he can't be around, are the ones who won't even share it. Who won't even give what they have. Who won't even care about people enough to share it. I've told you before, there are five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Christian. And most people never read the first four. They see how we live our lives. They see who we are. They see how much we care about them. Now, that's the witness of Christ. So we're going to serve others selflessly. And Jesus said it. He said, we work for food that endures, and say this with me, to eternal life. All right, and here's the last one, number three. We're going to live life intentionally. And that's ultimately where this series is going this month. We're going to live our lives intentionally. God has placed us in a time and a place. God has a purpose for us. He has meaning for our lives. He wants us to accomplish his will on the earth. He knows where we are and he orders our steps. Matthew, Jesus says that we're the salt of the earth. That God has called us to be the salt of the earth. And Paul picks up the analogy in Colossians. And he says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be full of grace. Somebody say amen this morning for all this. Season with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. We're intentional. And the first one, we're intentional in our actions, in the way that we live. Matthew 5, you're the world's light, a city on a hill glowing in the night for all to see. You are. Don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see so they'll praise your Father in heaven. Let your good deeds glow. You don't have to start serving on serve day or on light the night, but man, what a great opportunity to start. What an awesome opportunity to come together as a church and to let the good deeds glow so that they'll glorify your Father in heaven. So that we can be such an extension of God that people say, what an amazing God that his people are like this. That his people act this way. We're going to be intentional in our actions. Second, we're going to be intentional in our moments. I told you, God has the moment that you're living in. God has put you in that place on purpose. In your school or in your workplace, God has placed you there. Psalms 90, verse 17 says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the works of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. It's too shallow to think that you're only in that workplace to get a paycheck. Or you're only in that school or thing to get a degree. Or you're only in those places that you're in to just get through it. Or before you start looking at the next job or the next semester or the next person, look around you where God has placed you right now. We're going to be intentional in our moments right now. Not always looking for where I'm going to be headed, where I'm going to do, what I'm going to be intentional for those around us. Recognizing that God orchestrates it. In Psalms, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. And then in Proverbs, in their hearts, humans plan their course. So you're trying to figure out your steps, but the Lord establishes their steps. God establishes your steps. What an amazing thought that we are living in the plan that God has for us. That we can fulfill the purpose God has for us. I pray that you live with such intentionality that hell gets nervous every time you walk out of your door. That every time you think, God, who is going to be in my way today that I'm going to be able to minister to? God, who am I going to come across? Who are you sending to me that I can live a life worthy of the call? Who are you sending? And finally, we're going to be intentional in our message, in our actions, in our moments, in our message. In 1 Peter, it says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. Be ready to give an answer. Be ready to give the message that we have received. God doesn't bless you so you can hoard it inside and just wait till Jesus comes. He blesses us so we can bless others. So we can give the message that we've received, that we're on a mission. 2 Corinthians, he says that we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. You are an ambassador of Christ. God is making his appeal through us. If you think God's got some secret plan over there where he's working to do things in the earth and we can just kind of abide our time and wait, God is making his appeal through us. We are ambassadors of Christ. Amen. This whole month is about serving and outreach and being ambassadors for Jesus. And so by the end of this series, I want this to be said about all of us. And it's in Acts 13 as we close. He's talking about David here. He says, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. When David had served his purpose in his generation that God had given him. And then he went on. I want that to be said of my life. I want to live in such a way that I'm living with intentionality. I'm serving others. I'm loving God passionately. I'm serving my purpose in this generation. Whatever it is. And when I have achieved that, when I've served what God has put me on this earth to do, I can go on to heaven. However long he's given me, I want to serve that purpose. I want that for each one of you. I want that for this church as a whole, that we serve the purpose in our generation. God has put us here in this place for a reason. God ordained this year, this time, this place, this city, this church, this people for a purpose. To serve our generation. Let that be said of us. Let it be said of us as a church. There were a people in Baton Rouge. There were a people in a church that followed after God, that went after him with everything we have, that served him genuinely, that loved their God and loved people, lived lives of intentionality. Let that be us. We have those opportunities this month, but it doesn't stop this month. Let us be people whose lives achieve the purpose God has put on our lives for this generation, for the time and the place that we're in. Let it be said of us. Amen? Bow your heads with me this morning. Father God, we ask you, let us be people of intentionality. And Lord, let us take none of the credit. Let us give you all of the glory. We just want to serve our purpose in this generation. We want to serve our purpose that you put us on the earth for. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I could have gone another 30 minutes on this. It's just burning in my heart. But none of this can happen if you've not found your purpose yet. And you can't find your purpose outside of God. Everything begins and ends with Jesus. And only you know if you're connected with him in a real and passionate way. Only you and he know how that relationship is. You can fake it for those around you. You can go through the motions. Only you and he know what that relationship looks like with him. But you cannot find your purpose without going to the one who holds the book on your life. Without getting that relationship with Jesus. And what does that look like? It's saying, I surrender my life to you. I want to have that relationship with you. I want to make you the Lord of my life. And so I just want to pray with you this that morning. If you connect with him this morning, I just want to pray with you to have that relationship. Or maybe you had one at one time and you've gone far from God. And this morning you just say, I want to come home. I want to find purpose. I want to come back. I want to pray with you. And I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come to the front. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to embarrass you this morning, but I want you to make that decision in your own heart. Would you respond to that? If you've never prayed it before or you want to come home, would you just respond to that? Just make up your mind in your own heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're watching online, you can respond as well. If that's you, if you want to pray that prayer, you say, include me in that. I want to come home. I want to have that relationship. I want to find purpose in him. If that's you this morning, would you be bold? Would you just respond? Just stretch your hand up this morning. Thank you. No one's looking around. If that's you this morning, you want to respond to that. You say, include me in that prayer. Thank you in the back. If you want to join those two, we're not going further. We're not going to rush this. If that's you, you want to join those two this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Great job. We're going to pray that this morning. And if I didn't see your hand, I just want you to know heaven knows. Heaven is watching. And I'm going to give you the words. You have to mean it in your heart. And the whole church, we're going to pray with those four this morning. We're going to pray with you this morning. We're going to say it out loud. You just say these words. Mean them in your heart. Come on, church. Let's pray with them this morning. Just say, dear Jesus, forgive me. I've gone on my own too long. Come into my life. Today I repent. Change me. Make me brand new. With all of my heart, I'm going to serve you. Come be Lord of my life. Say those words, be Lord of my life. God, in this moment, I pray for every person who just prayed that prayer. God, that they would never be the same again in Jesus' name. God, that you have called them. God, you have put them in a place with a purpose and with a destiny to leave a legacy. God, that they would serve their generation. That they would serve this place in time, God. I pray it over their lives. And God, I pray over this whole congregation. That you have a purpose for us. And I pray, God, that every one of us realizes more than ever before, Lord, that we have a purpose. that we're going to love you passionately. We're going to serve others selflessly. God, we're going to live with intentionality. And so as you begin to work in our lives, that we would serve our purpose in this generation, where you have placed us. And we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's church said, amen, amen. Guys, come on, can we give just an offering of praise for what God has done this morning? Stand up with me. Come on, let's just go back. Let's sing our praise and our worship. Come on, let's praise together.